The healed man fell on his face at the feet of Christ and gave thanks. A young monk lived in the desert in the early centuries of the church. He followed Saint Anthony of Egypt into the desert monks, the founders of Western monasticism. And he was meditating on a spiritual problem, a spiritual question that he had. He was meditating on this for over 2 years, day and night. He finally decided to leave his cave, his home or his cell, his cave where he lived, to see his Abba, his spiritual father. And as he was walking to see his spiritual father, his guardian angel appeared to him and revealed to him the answer of the question that he had been meditating on very fervently for over 2 years. And after receiving the answer from God through the angel, the young monk asked the angel, "Why did you not reveal this to me earlier? Why did you wait for me, wait for these 2 long years to reveal this answer to me?" And the angel said, "Because you humbled yourself to go and ask another, that is your Abba, God decided to grace your humility and to give you the answer to this problem. And if you would not have seen your Abba for 20 years, you would not have been given the answer to this question for 20 years. That young monk returned with great thanks in his heart to his cave, never having seen his Abba. He was grateful for the twofold blessing, one for the answer to his question, and secondly, for the very great lesson that he learned in the virtue of humility." A very powerful couplet of virtue, two virtues that when linked together are very powerful in our life, are the virtues of gratitude coupled with the virtue of humility. Our Lord mentions specifically the virtue of gratitude and the vice of ingratitude in the gospel today. And as followers of our Lord, we should always give a special emphasis to those virtues which he specifically mentions, and hence he mentions gratitude in today's gospel. The healed man had much to be grateful for. He was born a Samaritan, false-believing, heretical sect, Samaritans. He moved to a leper colony where he endured the physical manifestation of the result of sin and wrong belief. He moved very quickly and for a very short time was obedient to the Jewish law and was a Jew as he obeyed our Lord to move and show himself to the Jewish priests. But very quickly he became a believer of the new covenant by returning to Christ immediately without even visiting the Old Testament priest to give thanks to the God of the new covenant that is our Lord. What a conversion from heretic to Christian, from leper to whole healed man. A double blessing for this young Samaritan, much like the double blessing of the monk. Humility linked and yoked with gratitude. Very powerful movement in a soul. The saints have much to say on the virtue of gratitude, specifically mentioned by our Lord. Look at 4 saints and what they say on the virtue of gratitude, or to give thanks. St. John Cassian, in his conferences, says that there are 4 levels of prayer, and the very highest level of prayer is a prayer of gratitude to God for blessings that we have received from Him. Gratitude for graces received. The highest level of prayer, according to St. John Cassian. St. Ignatius of Loyola, secondly, is known for his tremendous contribution to tradition of his examination of conscience. And he begins that examination of conscience after with a prayer to the Holy Ghost. First, his first move is to thank God for all of the blessings of that day. This includes, and he purposefully intends for us to include, to thank God for all of our sufferings, for our enemies, and for our crosses, to thank God for those three very difficult things. And this will act in contrast to our sinful will, which very graciously accepts from God those things that are nice or initially palatable to our soul. It's very easy to accept. But to learn to love and to thank God for crosses, blessings, and sufferings contrary to our sinful will, this serves to crush our will and to form us as Christ loves, to love as He loves. He loved His enemies, He loved His cross, and those two are united, as He says from the cross, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do." And so every night we should examine our day and examine our life as if we were to appear before God at our personal judgment, which we will all appear before God immediately after our own death. We will be particularly judged by God. And so we ought to do that every night to preempt God's strict justice as a way to call forth His mercy. St. John Cassian, St. Ignatius, and thirdly, St. Bernard of Clairvaux. He says this about ingratitude, the opposite of gratitude, ingratitude. Ingratitude is the annihilation of our merits. Ingratitude is the scattering of our virtues. It is the loss of our blessings and creates a heart where grace no longer has access. Let me read that again. It really shocked, jarred me when I first read this. Ingratitude annihilates our merits, scatters our virtues, causes us to lose our blessings, and creates a heart where grace no longer has access. A tremendous statement on ingratitude. And hence the contrary is that gratitude, or giving thanks to God, guards the graces and merits and virtues and blessings that He's given us. Gratitude guards graces given to us. Our Lord Himself says on ingratitude to the grateful one, "Where are the other nine? Where are the other nine?" And then He says in a positively stated way to the one who was grateful, He says to him, "Go. Your faith has saved you. Go, your faith has saved you." He's no longer bound to the physical and spiritual maladies and infirmities, no longer bound to the old law, now living in the freedom as a fili Christi, as a son of Christ. Lastly, St. Thomas Aquinas says that gratitude, the virtue of gratitude, which is a daughter virtue of the moral virtue of justice, gratitude has various degrees. So, for example, children are due some things because of a parent's duty towards them. Parents have assumed that responsibility. So, children, you should be very, very thankful to your parents for giving you life, being cooperators and giving you life, for giving you an education in the faith and how to live a Christian life, for giving you food that's healthy for your body and a home to rest and grow in. So on the ride home today, every child has to thank your parents for something. And if there's many children in the family, you can't repeat. There's no repeats allowed. So thank your parents for something. Thank you, Mom and Dad, for giving me life. Thank you, Mom and Dad, for giving me a nice home to live in. Thank you for keeping me safe. Thank you for feeding me with good food. Thank you for music lessons. Children, use your imagination. Thank your parents for something. January 3rd of every year, I call my parents and I thank them for giving me life. It's 9 months to my birthday, that date. So I celebrate my conception day. And I thank them for giving me life. So children, take that or whatever you do, but on the ride home today, you can't stop and for anything or even get out of the car until every child thanks their parents for some gift. Even though parents have a duty to provide that, to cultivate a gratitude of thanksgiving. Now, there's various degrees of thanksgiving. The highest things that we can be thankful for is to be grateful for those things to which we have no strict right. All of us have no strict right to salvation. We have no strict right to that, right? We deserve condemnation. God grants us in free gift, not based upon our merit, salvation. So the greatest thing that we ought be thankful for is for the economy of salvation and the opportunity that God offers us to save our souls. That's the highest form of gratitude. So in terms of a practical application, in addition to our nightly examination of conscience, let's look at our thanksgiving after Mass. What ought that be like to remind us and to cultivate in us? Our thanksgiving after Mass, then, according to St. Thomas, is the highest thanksgiving and prayer that we can offer to God, to unite St. Thomas and St. John Cassian. It's the highest thing we can do, because we're thanking God for blessings given of a free, unmerited gift. So that's why we have a thanksgiving after Mass. In our thanksgiving after Mass, we ought to unite our moral intention to everything we're going to do that week. That should always be part of the prayer of one's thanksgiving after Mass. Because we can't do everything we're going to do in the week ahead in the 10 or 15 minutes after Mass. But what we can do is unite our moral intention, that is the very significant one of three legs of every moral act, intention. We can say, we can kind of look at our week and put our intention right to that week. At work, at home, teaching, learning, cleaning, doing the dishes, cutting the grass, whatever you would do through the week, all of your prayer, all of your actions, your commute to work, etc. What we can do is, in our intention after Mass, unite ourselves to every moral act. That way we're touching every act of our week. In our thanksgiving after Mass, I think it should be at least 10 minutes, maybe 15. It is by far, in my estimation, the single greatest personal prayer of your whole week. It trumps every personal prayer you'll enter all week. Why? Because the most blessed sacrament is present in our soul, in our body, corporeally, right? It's the most precious 10 or 15 minutes of your whole week of personal prayer. And hence, the insignificance of that thanksgiving. So the first move, then, after the priest leaves the sanctuary or church, is right to our knees. At least 10 minutes, at least. At least 5. 10, give me 10. The idea is to remain with our Lord who is in us corporeally. There's no more intimate, beautiful, close time to pour one's soul out to our Lord and then to listen to Him, to unite with Him. Isn't that beautiful? Most precious 10 minutes. The coffee can wait. No offense to our coffee preparers. It has heaters on it. The coffee can wait, right? Wait that 5 minutes. 5 minutes will grow to 7 to 10. First move then in that kneeling of thanksgiving. The healed man fell on his face at the feet of Christ and gave thanks. As we turn to our Lord Jesus in Holy Communion, may it be with humble hearts, to grow in gratitude for our enemies, for our sufferings, and for our crosses. St. John Cassian, pray for us. St. Bernard of Clairvaux, pray for us. St. Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.